Man. Our invitation will be 826, selection 826 is our invitation song.
Dear Lord, our God,
our Heavenly Father, you are so blessful to us,
and we are so
wonderfully receiving your blessings. We are
thankful for them. We ask you, Father, now to bless us as we move on into the next portion of these services this morning. We pray that things would be decent and in order and acceptable in thy sight. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we might have a chance to
the tree of life. We thank you and we pray for our growing sick list. We pray for all of those who are sick, those who have been sick, but are now feeling better. We're still praying that you completely heal them, if it be your will, O Lord. We're thankful this morning for those who are here. We're thankful this morning, Father, for those who may still be on their way here. We pray and ask you, Father, to give safety and safe passage to them. We thank you this morning, Father, for all of those this morning who are standing in the shadows of the cross and obeying your will and your word that is taught in the Bible, O Lord.
We thank thee for our first responders, Lord, those who are on the front lines when things happen in our lives. We just pray for them and ask you to be with them and bless them, O Lord. Not in wrongness, but help them to be right, O Lord, when they answer our phone calls. Thank you, Father, for the church which your son died for. Thank you, Father, that you have made an open door policy to the church. If those will come and be taught, you will accept them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the parents who are raising their children, O Lord. Help them and give them the things that are necessary in this life to sustain them and their children, their families. Thank you for our politicians, and we pray and ask you to guard, guide, and keep them, that they make no rules or regulations that will prevent us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for everything. It is in the name of your son, Jesus, that I ask all these blessings and more. Let the church say amen.
Morning. There's a lot written about life after a certain period of time. For example, we speak of one book that I'm aware of speaks of life after age 40. Some say age 40 is the new 30. Today we count age the way we see it. If one is age 40, that is the age he is. Not that he's a new 30. If it doesn't matter what the book writers tell us, let us take a look for a few minutes into the Word of God as we look into what happened after Jesus was raised from the grave. And let us see what we see in our lives after a loved one is gone. When life has slipped away from and our loved ones are taken away from us, to those who are left behind, we have only memories and thoughts of yesterday. There are no words why people may become disappointed. There's no wonder why people may become disappointed. If one is not strong in their faith, they may even lose it. Can we imagine what those who walked with Jesus must have felt? Perhaps disappointment, perhaps disbelief, perhaps fear, and all other emotions probably came into being. After Jesus was captured for his crucifixion, remember many of them ran. Many of his followers ran away. But I want to just show you a little bit about how people may react in times of crisis. Some church folk today are easily swayed when things don't go their way. They think it should be some even lose their faith and become disillusioned. They may make strange comments and even try to invite others to join them in their pity party. For some may even say, I cannot see God working through us anymore. Or they may even say, I don't feel God's presence anymore. Some even claim our prayers are not answered anymore. To those, I would tell them to go back to the cross and follow Jesus. Now, you read for your hearing from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 8. And our subject this morning is remember the words of Jesus. Thank God if you can't find him in the grave, you can't find him in the grave anymore. Look at verse 3 of our text where it says, when the ladies entered into the tomb, they found not the body of Jesus. Since Jesus is not in the grave, maybe it is us who are trying to worship our Lord as a dead Lord instead of a living Savior. We need to see as Thomas had to see in John 20 and verses 27 through 28, where he had to touch the body of the living God. In John 20 and 30, Jesus is the Christ, and so believing we might have life through his name. If your faith has become, you need to come back to Jesus. We need to allow his will to become our path in life. We need to stop blaming others for our own faults. Some say the preacher doesn't preach the right way anymore. Maybe it's you who are not hearing right anymore. Some say the church don't seem to be right anymore. I say there's nothing wrong with the church unless it's using a different Bible, a different teaching method than the Word of God. Yes. It is possibly not the church's fault. Therefore, it must be you. When the disciples ignored the Word of Jesus, things were not right with them either. Verse 7 and 8 of our text in Luke 24. Until they remember. Excuse me that for a minute. Until they remembered his words in verse number 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. You know, until you remember the words of Jesus Christ, things may not be going the way you think they ought to go, or may not be going the right way. You have to renew your fellowship with Jesus if you're not finding yourself as close to him as you once were. When one is not in fellowship with God, they can easily become discouraged. When one is in fellowship with the Lord, a relationship is formed. Do you remember in the 137th division of Psalms where the Jews had been taken captive and they were asked by their captors to sing for them? And they said to them, how can we sing of the Lord when they were in a strange land? When a Christian loses his walk with in his relationship with the Lord, how can they tell others about the Lord? How can you praise the Lord when you have lost your walk with God? When the closeness with God you once had is no longer there, ask yourself this question: did God change or did I change? And I know you'll find it's you who are standing a guilty distance from God and not God standing a guilty distance from you. Then ask yourself this question: if God charged admission to get into heaven, would my obedience to him be enough for me to get in? We are told the importance of counting up the cost of doing things before we started in Luke 14. Count up the cost before you start a project. So if your project is with God and it's not seeming to be working, it's probably you. If your relationship is not right with God, you need to make sure you form a better one with him. If your faith is not where it should be, you need to renew your fellowship with God. Learn to count up the cost of being faithful to him or trying to walk without him. Which one is better? I'll tell you which one is better. Walking with him is much better than walking away from him or walking behind or walking away from him. If your relationship is not right with God, you need to make sure you form a better one and remember his words. If your faith is not where it should be, you need to remember your fellowship with God. Ask God for wisdom if you don't understand something. If you like wisdom, James 1:5 tells us to ask of God. You know, wisdom is a wonderful thing. With wisdom, you learn things about oneself. You can learn things about how you do. You know, wisdom is not just having wisdom, but it's using it in the proper way. Once the news had spread of Jesus had left his grave when they went there, in verse 1, now on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Verse 2 says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. A lot of times we spend all of our hours worrying about who's going to move the stone when the stone may already be moved. The answer is sometimes closer than we think. All we got to do is seek out the answer and you'll get it. Do you remember in Luke 24:32, the two who had met Jesus on the Emmaus Road spoke of how their hearts began to burn from the teaching of the scriptures when Jesus has taught them the scriptures? When one comes to Jesus, his outlook begins to look better. The words of Jesus helps us to understand his going to the grave was only a temporary thing. He left with a promise to come back. He promised and also to send the Holy Spirit to us. Jesus is the only religious leader who ever lived, died, and lives on. Still, he is the one who shall be the judge of our life and the Savior of our lives.
Won't it be wonderful to know that your outcome is in the trusted hands of a Savior who has already experienced death in the grave? He is the only one that's already been there and done that. How can we not want Jesus to give him the best of ourselves? How can we not want to give Jesus the best of ourselves? So look at verse number 3. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, you're not going to find Jesus in the tomb. You find Jesus in the Word of God. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee?" Jesus has already spoken unto us, church. It's in the pages of inspiration. It's in the Word of God. All we have to do is follow it. And we'll get our answer. If we but remember the words of Jesus Christ, he promises to come again. He's going to come for us.
Yes. Amen.
And I suggest that we all be ready when he comes.
Amen.
Because he's going to come whether you're ready or not, so you may as well try and be ready.
Amen.
We can offer ourselves to him by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ in Mark 16 and 16, repenting of our past sins in Luke 13 and 3, confessing our faith in Christ, Romans 10, 10, be buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism in Mark 16 and 16. And remember one thing, church, we won't get to heaven without Jesus. Just remember, you can't count on man to get you to heaven. Man doesn't have a heaven. The heaven is already built, and it's already ready for us. Are we ready for it? You must remember the words of Jesus Christ, church. You must remember that whatever God says goes. And we can't change God's word. We can reinterpret it, but sometimes the reinterpretation of God's word falls short. We can hear the preacher when he preaches to us about the word of God. But I guarantee you one thing, until we remember God's word, we won't get very far. Jesus has already told them in Galilee that he was going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day he would rise again. Now I ask you this morning, are you ready to meet Christ? If you're not ready to meet him, you need to get ready. And if you don't get ready, he's going to come anyway, whether we're ready or not. When I ask you to remember the words of God, remember the words of Jesus, I'm simply reminding you of what thus saith the Lord. I'm simply reminding you of what the Lord asked of us to do. Remember his words. Remember the words of Jesus. I prepared a very short message this morning. When I got up this morning, I wasn't feeling too well. And so I decided to shorten it a little bit more so I could just give you the words of the Lord and leave it up to you to make your decision on whether you want to follow them or not. Now, when I think about it, the Church of Christ is the right church. We must remember the words of Jesus Christ. The church is right, but the men may be wrong. Some for men may be wrong sometimes. The church is always right.
Amen.
Everybody in the church is not right.
Well,
but the church is right. It has the right building. It's built on the right foundation.
Amen.
And it belongs to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I tell you, I invite you to come over to my church, it's not my church. This is the church I go to. My name is not outside on the board as founder, because I didn't find it. It found me. When I look through the pages of inspiration, I find many facts about Jesus to be true. I find all the facts about the Bible to be true. But I find some things that strike my life personally. And you will find things that strike your life personally if you just open up the pages of inspiration. When I consider that God is the only God, that he hasn't asked us, he didn't ask us to help him build this world. He made the world in the beginning.
Amen.
None of us were around when he made this world, were we, church?
No, sir.
None of us. He didn't ask us add one nail, one screw to this world when he was putting it together. He didn't even ask us to drop a glue to it. He made it and he had it ready when we got here, sir.
Yes, he did.
Now I know that many times you might question yourself. I question myself. I hope you question yourself from time to time to see if you've got it right. I question myself about how wonderful God is to us. I question myself as to, Lord, if I remember your words, I can find out all about you. You didn't ask me to help you put any star in the sky. You didn't ask me to help me help you to paint the moon and the sun the colors they are. But yet you give them to us for use. Now I know that the sun can be awfully hot sometimes. And we complain about it. We say, oh, it's so hot, I wish it would cool off. As soon as it cools off, you start saying, I wish the sun would come out and warm it up a little bit. But God is right, all right. God is good, as a matter of fact.
All the time.
And I know that we must try to make ourselves better people in the future than we have been in the past. All of us have fallen short. I wish that we lived in a world where people would stop harming one another. But they won't. God is the answer, though. I wish we lived in a world where people would learn to speak to one another a little bit more. A kinder and a gentler world, if you might say. I know when I go and I visit the South, people speak. People speak to you. Sometimes you speak to me 4 or 5 times a day. But that's the way it is. And I know that if we remember the words of God, we'll love them people. We'll love everybody. We'll even learn to love our enemies. We'll learn to pray for them.
Yes, yes. Jesus. Amen.
Now I know you saw that video the other day of a man being slammed down right on the corner of 79th and Cottage there.
Well.
Now you have to ask yourself this question. Who was wrong? Who was wrong in that situation? The man who slammed the man down or the man who took the abuse from the man he slammed down? If you remember the words of the Lord, not only the words of the Lord where he says he was going to be taken and crucified, but other words of the Lord. There's a whole Bible book full of words of the Lord. We need to study it. Now I understand that some people can't be with us today. Some people are not with us today. I don't know if that means they love the Lord more or less than the rest of us. But I know it means they're not here. So just remember the words of the Lord and remember that the Lord was crucified and rose again on the third day. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.